Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Beit. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Ayin Aleph Amud Beit, to be introduced by our very own Kapitan Richie.
Zot Halakha Mishnah.
So we continue on our journey into the Din of Pesach. And what the halacha is legabe the issues of Erev Shabbos. And as it turns out, there's an additional complexity that is going to be discussed here in our Mishnah, and that is the question that is known as Toeh Bidvar Mitzvah. So let's first take a look at the case, that we can put this off a bit until people arrive, and then we'll move on to the concepts behind the case. So let's say that you mess up the Korban Pesach by shechting it shelo lishmo, and Erev Pesach this year was a Shabbos, so then you were mechalo Shabbos, because you brought a Korban that was posel on Shabbos, and then you would be chayav chatas. Now, it's not clear whether, is this talking about that you did that on purpose, or you did it accidentally? I'm not sure. The Gemara is going to discuss this issue. But in any event, the guy certainly thought that what he was doing was mutter, whether he thought that it's okay to bring a Korban Pesach in a way that he'll be Yotze, let's say some other Korban that he's got, so he's going to bring it for a Shlomim, or whether he simply didn't realize that it was, the Pesach. He thought it was really the Shlomim. So that we'll have to see. So then he would be chayav chatas. But how about the inverse case, where he shechted other korbanos l'shem Pesach? So we saw before that other korbanos shechted l'shem Pesach can also be psulim. And if he shechts these other zvachim l'shem Pesach, then it would depend. Im einam ru'uyin, if there would be no way for them to be a korban Pesach, because they're, I don't know, maybe it's a female or maybe it's a cow, I don't, whatever, but there's no way to make the mistake of thinking this is a Pesach, then you would be chayav. But if they could have been brought as a chayav of Korban Pesach, then there's a machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatat, and Rabbi Yoshua poter from the chatat. And why would that possibly be? He certainly did an iser. So apparently, the difference is that even though he did an iser, in this case, since this korban is something that could have been mistaken for korban Pesach, and he brings it for korban Pesach, and in the course of doing so, he also is ultimately being mekayim the mitzvah, because if he brings this other korban, then the halacha would be that he did a mitzvah. So he brought a korban, which was shelo lishmo, and which is therefore not going to be ola lebalim l'shem chova, but nonetheless, it would still be a korban. And if it's a korban, so then he was mekayim a mitzvah in bringing a korban. And therefore, remember that Rabbi Yoshua is machshir even other korbanas that are brought l'shem Pesach. I mean, obviously, they're like any other shelo lishmo, but that was the earlier machlokus we had with Rabbi Yoshua. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yoshua, in this case, you would be poter. Why? Because you thought you were doing a mitzvah, and you were involved in doing a mitzvah, and in the end, you did do a mitzvah, not the mitzvah that you thought you were doing, but you were mekayim a mitzvah, and therefore, we consider that to be a to'eh bidvar mitzvah. So let us, now that we have some more people here, let us get into a little bit of a discussion about what this is all about. So remember, we had back in Masechet Shabbat, and we talked there about the question of doing a Brit Milah on the wrong kid on Shabbos. And the question there was very complex, where we're going to be getting into it later, but there was a machlokas over there about the idea of Teyat Bidvar Mitzvah. The Gemara over there takes this down to the basics of where would that idea come from. And it turns out that it's dependent in the mokor of the Korban Chatas. So remember that the mokor of the Korban Chatas is from the hekesh of all of the chataot, kol mitzvot Hashem, to avodat kochavim. And we say that just like by Avodat Kochavim, you'd be chayav achatas if you did it b'shogeg. Same is true about any mitzvah that could fit that case of the model, which is the Avodat Kochavim. Now, the question is, how do we read the model? So there's a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, which seems to be reflected in our Mishnah. Does the model mean that just like when you were oved avedes kechovim, you were not mekayim any mitzvah, and there was no dachav to do a mitzvah, and therefore you're chayev? But suppose in the case of doing a shogeg, you actually were mekayim a mitzvah, and or, we'll have to see whether it's and or, you also end up being mekayim the mitzvah and wanted to do that mitzvah and were pressured to do that mitzvah. Now that takes it out of the entire structure of the model. Now the reason that this may be true, even if the Gemara doesn't say it, is because utilizing Avodat Kochavim as the model for the Chiyuv of Chatas is quite unusual, if you think about it, because the truth is that the carbon that you bring for Avodah Zarah is unique, and it's not the same as your normal choice of a Seira or a Kispa, which you have on all the other Chataot. You would think, okay, so if that's the case, it should be the last possible thing that we would use as our index case for the Chiyuv of Chatas, correct? And yet, we do. And that therefore alerts us to another question, which may be, as I say, I haven't found any Rishonim that suggest this, or Achronim, but it seems to me to be pretty much fundamental to the sugya. Since the nature of Avedis Kechavim is defined as following the thinking of your own projections without having any basis for those projections, that would mean that it is completely and totally outside of the realm of being able to be involved in a real mitzvah while you are doing it. So even though obviously your kavana is you think that you are worshiping God in this fashion, that's your imagination. Imagination does not create mitzvahs. And therefore, only in the case where there was not a real mitzvah that was involved, then and only then is the Torah giving you our model of a Chiyuv Chatas. If, on the other hand, what you are doing involves a mitzvah, then we can't link it to that index, which is Avodas Kochavim, that is by definition telling us you're chayev because of the fact that you're trying to create a reality that doesn't exist. That's the problem. By the way, the utilization of those words, creating a reality that doesn't exist, is not my own choice of words. It's the way that the Rambam describes all religion. And he says the issue, the problem in my mind, says the Rambam, of all of these people who are walking around all day long saying, and everything is Bidei Shamayim, and they're constantly talking about this idea of the man in the sky, have nothing to do with anything that is in common with reality. They've created a reality that is not reflected in any nimtza. There is no existence that is really that reality that they're believing in. And therefore, it has no connection to anything that we would be doing. That's how he defines it. So, and he defines that again, even where the person believes that he's being highly religious, he's saying all the right things and so on, but it's just projections of his own mind that bears no resemblance to any extant entity. That's how the Rambam puts it in the Mirah. So if that would be the case, then that would mean that we need to determine to what extent the involvement in the mitzvah might make a difference to us. So first of all, we have this basic machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehoshua. Listen, gentlemen, this is a very, very complex sugya, and it occurs in a number of places in Chas. We touched upon it in Masechet Shabbat. We were talking about the Brit Milah that's done on Shabbat to the wrong kid. Either the kid that was supposed to be, the guy that had twins, the kid that was supposed to be Nimel on Erev Shabbat, or the kid that was supposed to be Nimel on Sunday. That's a case that we'll be getting into. But because it contains many, many elements, it ends up being quite complex. So I'm trying to present to you the elements If you get confused in the interrelationship of the elements, that's fine, because that's part of Shaklavatarya. But what is very important is to have a clear sense of what the elements are, because those things are really fundamental takes on the nature of our involvement in reality when we're involved in mitzvahs. And that is very important on a real personal level. So therefore, it's important for us to get through this. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua seem to have, on the surface, a fundamental question as to whether we have any right to utilize something that isn't mentioned in the Torah at all as being involved in the definition of the Chi of Chatas, that is, whether it involves a mitzvah or not. According to Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't make any difference if it involves a mitzvah. That's what it seems. And that's how we're beginning to understand the sugya. It will turn out that not everybody agrees to that, and that there's a machlokas tanoim about how to understand the machlokas of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. But the fundamental question about whether the mitzvah is a factor, it seems to be a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Elazar, he doesn't see a basis for concluding mitzvah as a factor. According to Rabbi Yeshua, he does. Now, there are many elements that need to be taken into consideration, because taking a mitzvah as a factor does not tell us, okay, what is the factor? Okay. So now, you could say very simply that when it comes to the case of the Avodah Zarah, you do not do a mitzvah in what it is that you did. And therefore, the question is, if in the end you were mekayim a mitzvah, is that going to change things? So that is called ta'ah bidvar mitzvah ve'asa mitzvah. Okay. Now, whether that's a factor that on its own would be sufficient or not, we have to wait and see in the Gemara. The other question is, when you were ta'ah bidvar mitzvah, was there really a mitzvah, or did you think there was a mitzvah and you were reacting to what you thought was a mitzvah? That's another factor, because that would involve the question not of whether you were mekayim a mitzvah, but whether you were pressured by the mitzvah. And that is called tarud in the mitzvah. So if you're going to be tarud in the mitzvah, maybe that's the issue, not whether you were mekayim a mitzvah, but whether you were driven by your concerns that were not your personal concerns, which would be the essence of Avodah Zarah, since it's projected and therefore entirely personal concerns. But over here, where what I'm doing is, I'm only doing this because I'm being pushed by the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it. So that's called the tirda in the mitzvah. And then we need to consider, is there really a mitzvah? Or did you think there was a mitzvah? So in other words, is the tirda, is that the issue? Or is it the existence of the mitzvah that is being matrid you that's the issue? Another question. Michlaf. Michlaf means, is this something that it is possible to have mistaken for the entity of the mitzvah? Now, that's what we just talked about in the Mishnah. The question about whether these other animals are ru'uyin for a Pesach. Might I have mistaken them as a Korban Pesach? Or is it a cow, which I couldn't possibly have mistaken for a Korban Pesach? So then even if I would have done a mitzvah by shechting them because it was a carbon shlomim and I was ended up being mekayim the mitzvah of bringing a carbon, even though I did it on Shabbos, the carbon is kosher. So that would be another issue. Is also mitzvah alone sufficient? Another question. If we are discussing the pressure of the mitzvah, is time a factor in that pressure? So meaning if I have enough time to work this out in a way when I should not be feeling pressured. So then if that would be the case, that's called zmano bahul. If there's no time pressure, then perhaps it's just a mistake and it's no different than any other mistake. Another question is the number of issues that I need to consider. So there would be a difference, therefore, in a case where I am overwhelmed by factors. So therefore, if I bring a Korban Pesach, there are hundreds of thousands of people bringing a Korban Pesach. If I bring a Korban Pesach because I see a Korban Pesach wandering around in the Azar, nobody's taking care of it, I go ahead and assume it's Korban Pesach and check it. That itself creates a certain sense of tirda, I mean, because the whole world is doing this. These are all elements in the concept of the involvement in the mitzvah as the reason that I'm doing it, not in the outcome, which is the osa mitzvah. Now, you may need both of these elements. You may need to be Torah in a mitzvah and also have achieved some mitzvah. But then the question is, if you do all that, is the mitzvah that was driving you crazy to get done, is it the same mitzvah that was supposed to be done? Or is there another mitzvah that you were mekayim, such as I brought a korban, but I was being osuk in the torud in the Pesach, or vice versa, perhaps. I was torud in bringing my korban, and I thought, because of that, that I should be doing this mitzvah, that we're going to see also. Another question is the mitzvah that was driving me crazy actually a mitzvah that is meant to be done on Shabbos? So is the nitna Shabbat li dachot because of this mitzvah today? Or, let's say I have two children to be mal, I had twins. Then Shabbat is nitna li dachot, one of them I needed to do today. And if I do the wrong one, so then the mitzvah that was driving me crazy in fact existed, I just made a mistake in identification. And that is the next factor. Is it a mistake in identification? Or is it a mistake in a din that has to do with something that would make this mitzvah kosher or not? So, for instance, suppose I thought that bringing a Pesach, shelo lishmo, is a korban Pesach, because this is the animal and that's what's important. Is that different than bringing the correct animal for a korban Pesach, but having in mind that it's a korban Pesach for people that are Arelim, let's say. Now, the difference between those two is that one of them is the identification of the animal, and the other one is a mistake in understanding the nature of how that animal is possible to bring correctly. There may be a difference between those two. Is the mistake in a din, or is it a mistake in identification? Another question is the level of the mistake. Is it because I had no real way to get that information easily? But if I had the way to get the information easily, then that would be a factor that would mitigate against being potter because of the Torah Bidvar Mitzvah. Now, the problem is that all of those factors and the interrelationship between those factors turn out to be necessary in the sugya, and therefore it turns out to be complex. But once we understand those factors, I think that's the important thing to keep into consideration here as we go through the Shaka Vataria, is to note the factors and to note the interrelationships between them and how many different ways there are to put those things together. So again, we started our Mishnah by talking about shechting a Pesach, which you passled because you did a Shelo Lishmo on Shabbos, and therefore you were Mechal Shabbos. You did not do a mitzvah because that Pesach is completely possible. No korban was brought. All you did was mess up. Now, that seems to be a classic case where you're chayav achatas. There was no mitzvah that was involved. I don't know. I mean, how about if it was a mistake? I mean, is it talking about that it was a mistake and that he just thought that it's irrelevant? What it is, he thought it was the Pesach, that it's okay, then it's all right if this is a Shlomim. Or did he mean to make it a Shlomim, knowing that it was a Pesach? I mean, that's not clear at all. So for some reason, everybody's moda in that first case at Yerchayev Achatas. We're going to discuss in the Gemara what the case was. In the second case, the question of whether the carbon that I mistook is suitable for the Pesach, and I shechted that korban for the Pesach, is that a suitable korban or not, seems to clearly say it's a mistake, because you're telling me, if it's a cow, how could you have thought it was a korban Pesach? I mean, so then that means you weren't doing it on purpose, and we're analyzing the level of the mistake. So that should itself tell us that the Mishnah is talking about making a mistake. Then it becomes a machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehoshua. According to Rebbe Eliezer, even though you were Mekayim a mitzvah, and even though you were bothered at the time by the fact that you need to bring that mitzvah, need to bring the Korban Pesach. It doesn't matter. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, in that case, you'd be putter because you actually were Mekayim a mitzvah under the pressure of bringing a Korban Pesach. What was the mitzvah you were Mekayim? Not the one you set out to be Mekayim because you did not bring your Korban Pesach, but you did bring a Korban. And that Korban is kosher according to Rabbi Yoshua. Omer le Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yoshua, now that's crazy. If when I bring the Korban Pesach, now look, I'm supposed to bring the Korban Pesach. I'm allowed to bring a Korban Pesach. It's just that I'm supposed to do it lishmo. And the Reisha of the Mishnah, you just agreed to me. And you said that if I brought it, l'shem, let's say, a shlamim, right? I would be chayiv. So the other way around, where I'm bringing a korban that is usher to be brought, it is a shlamim, and it's usher to bring it on today. And not only that, but I bring it shalo lishma. I bring it l'shem Pesach. So I mean, they're really messed up. I took the wrong thing, which I'm not even allowed to bring a shlamim today. And I ended up even doing that shalol lishma. So I ended up doing for a Pesach. So for sure I should be chayev, no? Says Rabbi Yeshua, well, of course not. If you're talking about the Korban Pesach, that's because when you brought a Korban Pesach as a shlamim, you were bringing it for something that should not have been brought today. Masha ain't Cain, when you're bringing something else for a Pesach, your mistake is in the Shalol Lishma that you're bringing it for something that is supposed to be brought today. So, I mean, obviously that's not the same, is it? So, Tomar Bezvachim Shishinan, their shame to something that is a Chiyuv today, B'dover HaMutar, says Rebbe Eliezer, a Murei Tzibur Yochichu. How about if you brought a carbon thinking that you could use this for the Korban Tumid. So what happens is you go ahead, come into the Beis HaMikdash, you see that the Korban Tzibur wasn't brought yet, perhaps, maybe that's the case. It isn't 100% clear. Did you think it was brought already? Let's say you thought it wasn't brought yet. You're getting really concerned. You're a guy that takes a lot of responsibility. So you take your Korban, and you shecht it to be the Korban Tzibur. Okay. So over there, the din is that if they are certainly mutter to bring a Korban Tzibur, but if you shecht the Korban for that purpose on Shabbos, all of us are agreed that you would be chayiv. Now, I'm not sure why all of us are agreed that you would be chayiv. Because, I mean, again, did you do a mitzvah and you thought you were doing a mitzvah? So maybe Rabbi Yoshua would have held over there also that you're putter. But obviously, Rabbi Eliezer knew that he doesn't. And Rabbi Yoshua seemed to agree with him. And Rabbi Yoshua said, okay, but there's a reason. The reason is called kitzbah. Kitzbah means how many such acts need to be done. So we call that harbe when I mentioned it in the list of elements. Is there a lot of pressure because there's a lot to be done? Is there a lot of confusion because there's many people that are trying to get it done? Those all may be elements in the tirda of the mitzvah, not in the kiyum of the mitzvah. So by Murei Tzibur, look, man, there's only one carbon you're supposed to be bringing, you know, or maybe a few musafim. I mean, how much can you get overwhelmed by that? I mean, there's millions of korbanos being brought as the Korban Pesach. If one of them is walking around, it's not odd that you should feel a sense of responsibility. And with all of the tumult going on, with everybody running, the Kohanim passing the dam one to the other, that you've, oh my God, here's a Korban Pesach that got lost in the shuffle. Let me shecht it and put it into the assembly line so at least the guy will be otze his Korban Pesach. Now, turns out it wasn't a Korban Pesach at all, but I mean, in that case, there is a kitzbah, says Rabbi Yoshua, and therefore we understand why you would make a mistake. Rabbi Meir says, hey, both of you guys are wrong, okay? Because the din is that even if you would be shokhet v'shem emurei tzibur, you would be potter. I disagree with you. I say even in a case like that, where you have much less of a reason to potter you, you would still be potter. And we'll have to see what Rabbi Meir's shita is about Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. He obviously is taking it a step further because he would be saying, even if you didn't do any mitzvah at all, maybe. Let's see. Shachato shalola ochlav. But if you shechted the Korban Pesach in the wrong din, to the wrong people, shalolim and nuyav, or for arelim, or for tameim over there, for sure you would be chayev. Because there you made a mistake that resulted in Chilol Shabbos, and the mistake had nothing to do with your tirda of identifying this as the Korban Pesach. It was an auxiliary mistake, which came from your lack of knowledge, and therefore it's a shogeg, like any shogeg. So there you would be chayev. If, let's say, that you shechted it, however, in a way that it was kosher, but you did it in a wrong fashion. So let's say you shechted it both for ochlav and shalol ochlav, for menuyim and shalom menuyim, mulim v'arelim, tmeim v'torim. Now, we said before in the Mishnah, all of those cases, the korban is kosher. So since the korban is kosher in those cases, you weren't mechal al Shabbos. So obviously over there, you would be potter. Now, how about if you shechted the korban Pesach and then you discover that it had a mum? Well, then you'd be chayev because you should have discovered that mum before, not after. How about if you shechted it and you found that it was a trefa, let's say, in its lungs? There would have been no way for you to have known that it was a trefa before. Then you would be potter because that would be the equivalent of an onus. How are you supposed to know? You had a mitzvah to be shochet and hope for the best that we go up with a rov. The rover kosher. Okay. Turned out it didn't work out that way, but that's not your responsibility. How about if you shechted it and then you find out later that at the time that you shechted it, there was no one that was monoi on it anymore because everyone had deregistered from that carbon and you had no way of knowing that because they could continue to deregister until the very last minute before Shechita, correct? And that's exactly what happened. Mashku ba'alim et yadam, or maybe they all died. I don't know. Or maybe they became tamei. In that case, is your potter. Because again, what you did bereshus, you did what you needed to do. And the fact that things didn't work out is not your problem. Now, the question is, when we look at the beginning of the Mishnah, and it says, if you shechted a korban Pesach on Shabbos, shelo lishmo, what does that mean? That you made a mistake? You thought that the Korban Pesach that you were shechting was really a shlomim, because you really believed that. And you shechted it l'shem shlomim. You would be chayev. But what that would mean is that akira b'ta'ut havi akira. There's a big question about that in Masechet Tzvachim. If, and we'll see it later, if what you did was done accidentally, and you had in mind the wrong thing because you really thought it was the wrong thing, that's a mistake. Does that actually change the Korban Pesach into being brought as a Shelo Lishma, or is Shelo Lishma only where you knew darn well it was a Pesach, and you specifically want to bring it as something else? Now, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a mistake, and it's being mechayev you achatas, then that means that the Mishnah is openly stating that a mistake is considered to be a valid akira, and it takes away the din of the Pesach from the korban, and therefore it was a chilul Shabbos, correct? How is it possible that the Gemara never listed this Mishnah as indicating that in all of the machlokas discussion of that issue? So therefore, we have no choice but to say that the Mishnah at least definitely makes sense, even if it's talking about ba'oker, and in order to avoid its implications, let's say that the Reish is talking about the guy that knew it was a Pesach and he wanted to bring it as a Shlomim. He didn't know that that was a Chilul Shabbos. He didn't realize that he would be Mechal Shabbos that way, but he did know that he was bringing it for the wrong thing. He just thought that it was anyway going to be kosher. Well, that is a normal Korban Chatas, right? Because you made a mistake not realizing you were Mechal Shabbos and you were Mechal Shabbos. Okay. Now, I ask you to consider the next case. Gentlemen, you must keep concentration here. The next case in the Mishnah, this is an extremely loaded Mishnah, where every argument by every man d'amar is multi-level. Now, the next case in the Mishnah is that if you shechted other karbanas as a karban Pesach, if they were ro'ui or eno ro'ui, makes a big difference. If it's clear that they couldn't be a Korban Pesach, meaning you saw a cow, I mean, you knew a cow isn't a Korban Pesach, so then you would be chayev achatas. But if they are the kinds of animals that you thought were a Korban Pesach, Then Reb Eliezer says, well, I don't care. You're still chayav akatas because you were mechallel Shabbos. That's all that counts. Reb Yeshua says, no. I mean, you actually made a understandable error that was alon. You made an understandable error, and that error is done in the case of you're being pressured to do a mitzvah, and therefore you would be potter. Because, I mean, the bottom line is you did bring that animal, according to me, and that animal was kosher as a korban. So you did do a mitzvah, and therefore it doesn't meet the model case of avodas kochavim. And because of that, you would not be chayev. Now, excuse me, if we're talking about you did it on purpose, then why are we discussing whether you made a valid mistake? That's insane. There is no mistake. You said the Mishnah is talking about you did it on purpose, and you couldn't figure out that the Mishnah would be talking about that you made a mistake, because then it would have proved that Akira B'Taut is valid as an Akira, correct? But if we're talking about you did it on purpose, why are we discussing, well, how did you make a mistake? I didn't make a mistake, darn it. I brought the cow as a Pesach. Same thing as in the Reisha. So why are you saying it makes all the difference in the world about whether it was Ra'ui or not? So now you're contradicting yourself. Because Iba Oker, who cares whether it was Ra'ui, and who cares if it isn't Ra'ui? It's exactly the same. So the moment that you start talking about whether it's a reasonable error, you're telling me right up front, we are talking about an error, which means that it's To'e. Now, I don't understand. The first case in the Mishnah is talking about doing something on purpose, and then we just move on to the next case, and we say it's talking about a mistake. Reisha Bo'oker v'seifa b'to'e. It's a strange way. I mean, normally, remember, normally what a Mishnah does is it contrasts two cases by changing one factor, not by changing multiple factors. So if you want to indicate to me the difference between a Pesach L'Shem Zevach and a Zevach L'Shem Pesach, then don't change something else. Don't talk about the difference in one case talking about an Oker and the other case a mistake, correct? It's not a normal way to construct a Mishnah. Says Rabbi Yovan, well, do you have a better explanation? In this case, the Mishnah specifically confuses you by changing multiple factors, okay? So yes, the Reisha is Ba'oker and the Seifa is Betoa. I dare you to find another explanation. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef once found Rabbi Abbo standing in the middle of this gigantic crowd of people. So there's a thousand people around, and he was so driven to find out this Mishnah because it was just absolutely maddening. So he goes over to him and says, what do I do about this Mishnah, darn it? And Rabbi Abbo said to him, what you do about this Mishnah, my friend, is you bite the bullet. And you say to yourself, Reisha Ba'oker, V'Seifa B'To'eh. That's what you do. Could you say that again? I'll say it again. Reisha Ba'oker, V'Seifa B'To'eh. But that's mad. Let me hear that again. He did this 40 times in the middle of this crowd, right? Because it was just like, if I don't do it 40 times, it's just for sure going to go out of my head because it's too crazy. So he did it 40 times. And there it became already, okay, now I got it. We say, okay, I got this in my pocket. So he didn't just go for this little WhatsApp emoticon, got it. You know, no. It wasn't got it. And as the Gra points out very beautifully, this the Gra does in various places, that it doesn't say it's kimonach bekufsa, which is what you would normally say. It's like I put it in the drawer. Now it's already clear. No. You never put it in the drawer. You put it in your pocket. And the halacha is, b'nogea the dinim of Hashavas Aveda, that you're constantly osui odom l'mashmesh bekisei. A person always puts his hand in his pocket to make sure he hasn't lost his wallet. That's what the meaning is, munach bekisei. So it was as if it's in his pocket, meaning he's going to keep sticking his hand in there to make sure that he remembers it. La. Isn't that nice? Isn't it meaningful? It's nogea the halacha of losing a wallet. Is it considered to be yush shelo midas or not? I don't know. You're making me yush midas. Okay. So, no choice, says the Mishnah. What do you mean, no choice? But the, and then the rest of the Mishnah breaks down completely. Look, Omar Rebbe Elias, if a Pesach, which I'm allowed to be bringing on the Shabbos, if I bring it for a Pesach, and the din is that if I change it and I call it a Shlomim, and I'm going to be, in that case, I'm going to be Chayiv. So if I'm bringing another Zevach, which I'm not supposed to be bringing at all on Shabbos, see, I'm an idiot, right? And I do it even worse. I do it by changing its name to something else. So for sure I should be Chayiv. Now, you understand that this Kal Vachomer is completely and totally irrelevant if the case in the Reisha is that I did it as an Oker and the case in the Sefer is that I did it by accident. So how are you saying, well, if over there you're Chayiv, Koshikane over here you're Chayiv, even though you did it by accident? What? This is a Kal Vachomer by you? If I'm Chayiv, if I did it on purpose, so then Koshikane, I'm Chayiv if I did it by accident. I don't understand what exactly the Kal Vachomer is. I mean, by making that Kal Vachomer, you're telling me that the two cases are comparable except for the issues that you brought up. But if one of them is Oker, one of them is Betoeh, what are you proving by bringing me the case of the Oker? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you. That's because in a conversation between Shitos, each man d'Omar takes for granted his approach to the sugya, and speaks to you, this is an extremely important point all over the Torah, speaks to you from his point of view, which you are expected to understand where it comes from and what its implications are. And then you can address it to him from his point of view. So therefore, since according to Rebbe Eliezer, I couldn't care less, says Rebbe Eliezer, whether you do it on purpose or not. Basically, both of them are making a mistake when you're trying to do a mitzvah, correct? You're the guy who believes that the details of how you make a mistake when you're trying to do a mitzvah are relevant. To me, Rebbe Eliezer, the factor of the mitzvah is not relevant to the model of Avodah Zarah. Therefore, I couldn't care less about the element of the mistake or not, because that's not the point. So according to me, bringing a raya from a case of an oker to the case where the guy made an understandable mistake in the course of doing a mitzvah. What was that? What? A mistake, an understandable mistake in the case of doing a mitzvah. I understand. What if it was an understandable mistake while he was filling the gas tank of his car? Are you going to throw that in as a factor? It's not a meaningful factor. Therefore, for me, the Kal Vachomer is perfectly valid. Wait, okay, that's all very nice. Rabbi Eliezer lo shani lei, but Rabbi Yoshua should have said to him, okay, that's your esteemed opinion. And by my opinion, it makes all the difference in the world. That's all that he should have answered back. He should have said to him, look, according to me, and I am Machshiv, the factors that go into the Torah B'dvar Mitzvah, it makes a tremendous difference. So why didn't he say that? Instead, he goes into this whole rigmarole. Well, over there, he changed it for something that was not a mitzvah to bring on Pesach, and here he changed it for something that was a mitzvah to bring on Shabbos Erev Pesach. I mean, it's a very simple response to a guy who is telling you a Kal Vachomer that's nonsensical by your own suppositions. So you should have said it to him, no? So Lishnei, why doesn't he answer him? No, because obviously he understood that Rebbe Eliezer knows why, according to him, it's a stupid Kal Vachomer. What he was trying to say to Rebbe Eliezer is this. Look, you know perfectly well. The idea, according to me, what kind of weird Kal Vachomer is it to bring a Reisha Ba'oker and a Sefer B'Toeh is absurd. But according to you, I mean, even your argument, it still makes a difference. You can't make a Kal Vachomer from a case where you're Meshana the Shame and you say, oh, look at this. He was even Meshana the Shame. What do you mean, even? It's because he was Meshana the Shame for something that was a Dover HaMutter, that maybe the halacha would be different, don't you think? Maybe. So, Ima Marta BePesach Sheshinat Shemola Davar HaAsur. Are you going to tell me that the case should be exactly the same, even worse, when he did something that should be even better? That's what I'm saying. No, I don't like the way you're making this Kal Vachomer, even the way you look at it. Of course, the way I look at it, I don't even have to think about it. It's so stupid. Now, Amarlo Rebbe Eliezer. So now let's take a look at the next piece, which seems also very strange. Let me bring a raya from a Murei Tzibur, which you agree to. A Murei Tzibur are certainly allowed to be brought on Shabbos for a carbon tzibur. Nonetheless, if you go ahead and you shecht another carbon for them, so then you would be chayev achatas. So Rabbi Yoshua said to him, no, because there's another factor you didn't take into consideration, and that is how many of them there are. When it comes to the carbon Pesach, there's millions of them. But when it comes to the carbon tzibur, come on, how many are there that you would make a mistake? One, three. I mean, what do you have? The Tumid and you have a Musaf. Wait, now you're telling me that the issue has to do with how many? And if you don't have like a lot, then there's no reason for you to get confused? I never heard of that before. Lamemer, you're trying to tell me that Rabbi Yeshua only applies his halacha of Teya Bidvar Mitzvah when there's no kitzbah. So Eicha, the Itle Kitzbah, Rabbi Yeshua holds you'd be chayiv even on a Teya Bidvar Mitzvah. Is that what you're trying to tell me? I mean, what about the classic case of Teya Bidvar Mitzvah that we just had in Masechet Shabbat? Where over there we were talking about, there were twins. One of them you were supposed to do the Milah on Erev Shabbos. One of them you're supposed to do the Milah on Shabbos. Now, how mixed up can you get? I mean, is that millions of kids? There's two kids. And that was the key machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So over there, Yesh Lahem Kitzvah, Vitznan, and it said beferish in that Mishnah in Shabbos, Misha Yulo Shnei Tinokot, a guy has two kids that were born to him as twins, one right before Shkia and one right after Tzitzit Kochavim. So now they have different days for the meal. It happens all the time. Was one of them, he was supposed to be mal on Sunday, and one of them was supposed to be mal on Shabbos, and he got confused and took the wrong baby, and he went ahead and did the milah of Mr. Sunday on Shabbos. So there it says, there he would be chayev, and in that case, he did not do a mitzvah, because Mr. Sunday is not roi for a bris milah on Shabbos. But if he had a Mr. Friday and a Mr. Shabbos, now that's different. If he had Mr. Friday and he got him mixed up and he went and he was mal Erev Shabbos, he was mal on Shabbos. So then we have the Machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rebbe Eliezer says, what do I care? The bottom line is he did a Chilul Shabbos. Rabbi Yoshua says, now wait a minute. In this case, he was Mekayim a mitzvah. He didn't have to do that mitzvah, but I mean, did he do a brit milah? Yes, because this kid really needed the brit milah from yesterday, so he did do a brit milah. And was he supposed to be doing a brit milah today? Yes, I mean, there was a kid that he was supposed to do. Okay, so then he was tov bedvar mitzvah v'asa mitzvah. I mean, he did do a mitzvah. He did a mitzvah milah to the wrong kid. That is entirely different. And in that case, Rabbi Yeshua says, you're potter. Now, how many kids did he get mixed up with over there that now all of a sudden you're saying, well, there's a big difference between Korban Tzibur and Korban Pesach. I don't understand. Obviously, Kitzvah is not important. Oh, my Rabbi Ami, hold on a minute. In the case of the Mishnah of Mila, what we're talking about, where he first was Kadam Umal Etchel Erev Shabbat B'Shabbat. The first thing that he did on Shabbos was he took Mr. Friday and he gave him a bris on Shabbos. So therefore, since the one that needed to be done on Shabbos is still right there in front of him and does need to be done. So there is the mitzvah of Shabbos that is making him crazy, and it really was matrin him because he was torahed in a mitzvah, namely doing the baby that needed the milah on Shabbos. And that's what he was trying to do. And that was a real mitzvah. And therefore, there would be, according to Rabbi Yoshua, it doesn't matter what it was that is the thing that made him confused. What made him confused was a mitzvah that needed to be done on Shabbos. Now, in the case of the Karbonas at Tzibur, where he shechted for the Emurei Tzibur, there it's talking about where the Emurei Tzibur had already been taken care of. He didn't know about it, okay? So they were shechted, they emurei tzibor bereisha. After they brought the carbon tamid, this guy decides, oh my God, I didn't see any carbon tamid, but what's going to be in the goal? This country is insane. The government is nutty. Lech. But anyway, the idea is somebody's got to take responsibility. I will take responsibility and shecht for the carbon tzibor. The guy's a nut. So in that case, I mean, look, I understand if everybody's running around like chickens without a head and they're trying to shecht and there's a million psukim around and this guy gets overwhelmed and he says, oh my gosh, there's mitzvahs of Pesach over here. This little lost sheep over here, it probably is somebody's carbon Pesach. What's going to happen to it? This is awful. So he throws it into the assembly line by shechting it. Okay. That would be a different type of Torah Bidbar mitzvah. But over here, I mean, why, there was no mitzvah at that time. The carbon had already been brought. So the fact that he thinks there's a mitzvah, that's not going to bother him because of Tir. Who told him to think there was a mitzvah? So there I offer you a different element to take into consideration. And that is kitzbah. Huh? But then how could Rebbe Meir say, if you're saying that it was already shechted, then how could Rebbe Meir say both of you guys are mistaken? Rebbe Meir says that in that case, even if you shechted your carbon for a murei tzibor, you would be potter, even if it had already been shechted, so that there was no reason for him to feel pressured to do that mitzvah, and he created it out of a whole cloth? Didn't Rebbe Chiya from Avel Arab, didn't he quote Rebbe Meir as saying a very important thing, which clarifies the whole discussion? That Omar Rebbe Meir lo nechlaku Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Yeshua Shai Yelu Shedaitino called. There was never a machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua in the case where you had two kids to do a mila on, one on Erev Shabbos and one on Shabbos, and you made the mistake and you were mal the Erev Shabbos on Shabbos. Everybody agrees you're chayev in that case. The only case that there was a machlokas is where you had one to do after Shabbos and one to do on Shabbos. And then you were shachachu molad shal achra Shabbos b'Shabbos. That in that case, Rebbe Eliezer is mechayev achatas, and Rebbe Yeshua paters you. So in other words, according to Rebbe Meir, this idea of doing, needing to do a mitzvah, Torah b'dvar mitzvah, v'osa mitzvah, is not true. You do not need to be osa mitzvah. And it isn't so that the case over here, because of this, I'm saying if you took the Friday baby, that's because you thought, this is what we think now, we're going to end up changing it. But we think now is that, well, since you thought once I'm doing a bris milah on Shabbos, so I might as well go ahead and do the Friday baby because he needed to be nimol on Shabbos also, that nobody says you would be potter on, even though in that case you did a mitzvah, because what you did, you first did the Shabbos baby, then you did the Friday baby, which means that at the time you did the Friday baby, there was no tirda in the mitzvah. Now, you thought that you were doing a mitzvah, but that doesn't matter, says Rebbe Meir. I don't care about what you thought. I care about the reality. There was no mitzvah here. What I don't care about is whether in the end you actually did a mitzvah. Because let's change the case to a Shabbos Sunday situation. In the Shabbos Sunday situation, and you took Mr. Sunday, in that case, we have a machlokas. Why? Because you didn't do a mitzvah. You didn't do a mitzvah, and you did have a mitzvah to do. And what's only important to me is the fact that what drove you to do the act you did, which was not a mitzvah, really was a mitzvah. So in that case, Rabbi Yeshua would pot to you, even in that case where you didn't do a mitzvah, Rabbi Yeshua would pot to you, and Rabbi Eliezer would be mechayev you. That's the difference. We see from that according to Rabbi Meir, who says you're chayev, once the mitzvah was done, because that's where we understood it, once you did the Shabbos baby, if you then go ahead and do something else, like the Friday baby, you're not considered to be Torah b'mitzvah. You're going to be chayev achatas according to everybody, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. So how can you say that Rebbe Meir would say that your potter, if you had already brought, exactly like this case, you'd already brought the carbon tzibor, and you shecht another carbon for that carbon tzibor? there isn't a mitzvah. I don't understand. I thought Rabbi Meir says there has to be a mitzvah, not a mitzvah in your head. There has to be an extant mitzvah, not an imaginary mitzvah. Says the Gemara. But this is really reasonable to you. If it is brought, what you consider, the way that you understood the brayso of Rabbi Meir. You understood that to be reasonable? I mean, ma'asim, the law of in mitzvah, but the Rabbi Yeshua, let me tell you. In the case of the Sunday Shabbos baby, you're telling me that Rabbi Meir would have said that Rabbi Yeshua says you're potter, even though you didn't do a mitzvah. You didn't do a mitzvah because the baby was a Friday. He wasn't 8 days old yet. And even there, Rabbi Yeshua potters him. So in the first case, where he did do a mitzvah, and he did the baby, Friday baby on Shabbos, there, Rabbi Yeshua would hold that he's chayiv. This makes sense to you? Now, gentlemen, this is an extremely important moment in the sugya, because this question is a ridiculous question on the surface. You see that, right? If what Rabbi Meir is trying to say is, to me, the important component is, was there really a mitzvah or did you imagine the mitzvah? Then what difference does it make to say, well, but I mean, in that case, where you imagined the mitzvah, at least you did a mitzvah, so isn't doing the mitzvah important? What does one have to do with the other? I just told you, I don't give a hang about doing the mitzvah. Even if you didn't do a mitzvah, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you'd still be potter. So now you're telling me, well, kosher can if you did a mitzvah. I just told you I don't care about doing the mitzvah. So kosher can if you do a mitzvah in a case where there wasn't a mitzvah? This makes sense to you? That we should be asking a question like that? Therefore, the Gemara is forcing us unavoidably to a conclusion about how to look at the index case, where the whole thing began with Avodah Zarah, and to recognize that once Rabbi Meir makes the issue dependent on the actual existence of the mitzvah, then what is he saying? What he's saying is that since in our model of Avodah Zarah, there is no mitzvah that would be involved, and it's entirely imaginary, because of that, you're chayav achatas. But that means that I don't care about the level of your confusion. It's not the tirda of the mitzvah, because if I got confused and I'm being driven crazy to get a brit milah done, which I believe needs to be done today, and there is such a mitzvah of doing a brit milah on Shabbat, isn't there? Says Rabbi Meir, but I don't care about that. There is no mitzvah. He says, you think it's a mitzvah. So then that means that according to Rabbi Meir, what is the fundamental issue? Not your confusion, not your tirda. It has nothing to do with the tirda. It has to do with the fact. Was a mitzvah involved in what you did or not? So therefore, the Gemara is assuming, if Rabbi Meir is looking at the model case of Avodah Zarah and saying that the fact that the mitzvah exists means that there's an involvement of a mitzvah and therefore it does not fit the model. So then if you actually did a mitzvah, it's exactly the same. If you did a mitzvah, is that not the maximum involvement of a mitzvah in what was happening? So there Rabbi Meir would say that you're potter. It doesn't make sense to me. That's the only way to understand the Gemara. Otherwise, the Gemara is like completely flipped out over here. You're comparing the exact opposite concept. This completely changes your understanding of how Rabbi Meir is focusing entirely on reality and not on your psychology. Masha Enkein, the way that we've been dealing with the sugya up until now, considers there to be an interrelationship between your psychology and the reality. So if, the way we understood it was in Rabbi Yeshua, if you have good reason to be confused and you are under pressure, then being under pressure, if it involves being mekayim a mitzvah that was mekuyam, then you would be potter. When you look at it that way, you begin to think that that is far less reasonable an approach than Rabbi Meir's approach. Where would we come up with this idea of a combination of both the hatrada and the actual kiyum of the mitzvah, which we took so for granted in the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? So it turns out that the Gemara is getting closer and closer in the analysis of the mitzvah to what the real underlying factors are in the comparison to Avodah Zarah as the basis for me saying that a Torah bidvar mitzvah is potter. Therefore, says the Gemara, we have to change this way that we understood the Braita in the beginning. Obviously, that was wrong. Amri Deve Rabbianai, look, what we'll have to say is that the first part of the Braita over there was talking about where you went ahead and you did Mr. Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. That's the thing. You flipped it. You didn't just put it off. You flipped it. You misunderstood which baby was which. You got those little bands on their arms confused. And you went ahead and you took Mr. Shabbos and you did him on Friday. So then you were left without the baby that you need to be mal on Shabbos. And therefore, there was no mitzvah. There was a mitzvah, but there was no mitzvah that needed to be docheh Shabbos. Now, that's an additional point. And that we mentioned in our list of elements. Nitna Shabbat lidachot is central. And therefore, in the second case, where over there you did the Shabbos, the after Shabbos baby, then Shabbos was actually meant to be mechulal because you had a Shabbos baby to do. And over there, Rabbi Meir says, you're potter, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you're potter, because even though you didn't do a mitzvah, because you took the wrong baby, and you took this Mr. Sunday baby, and that doesn't matter. What did matter is that there was a mitzvah that was there, a real mitzvah, not an imaginary mitzvah. And you needed to do that mitzvah. Now you got confused. That's called a Toya B'dvar mitzvah. Masha Einkein, in the case where you brought the carbon for the tzibur, and you were trying to say that, according to Rabbi Meir, it makes no sense because, after all, there is no mitzvah because it was already done. Now, hold on a second. There is certainly a din of doing the Bikorban Tzibur on Shabbos, isn't there? Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kahana, I understand. And isn't there certainly a din to do Bris Mila on Shabbos? I don't get what you're saying. You're saying, if there are Korbanos Tzibur all over the world and they need to be done on Shabbos, so, yeah, but it was done already. I mean, you can say the same thing by the Shabbos on the Tinokas. Tell me something. Are there babies somewhere in the world that need to be done this Shabbos where it's still the middle of the night and they're going to end up needing to be done on Shabbos or not? Yes? So, okay. So then I'm Torah B'dvar Mitzvah because this mitzvah exists on Shabbos and therefore I have a right to be Torah. So you say, all over the world, there are babies waiting for a bris milah, anxious for a bris milah. And therefore, it makes sense that you should be driven to go wild and take every baby you see and give him a bris milah. I mean, that's the same kind of argument. He's, I see a korban. Oh my gosh, let me bring it for a korban tzibur. Oh, Marley, such a Rav Kahana, that's ridiculous. I mean, that for sure is not your business. You're not supposed to, you don't have a chiyuv to see to it that every baby in the world is nimal. That's a chiyuv on Bezdin. But over here, where all of Klal Yisrael is bringing that carbon seabor, it's natural that you should feel an achrayas for that carbon seabor. We started off with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah turned out to be very complex, and we had a number of different shitas. So, first of all, we came out that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, which, according to Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer holds that in no circumstances would we say that somebody who does a mitzvah at the same time that they're doing a chet, the shreir v'chatas from, is going to be torah by that mitzvah, that in any way figures in pottering him from his chet v'chatas, and he doesn't learn out from the dinim of Avodah Zarah to a general concept that you can't have any mitzvah involved. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua does, but only on condition that he actually was Mekayim a mitzvah at the time that he did it. And in this case, what we're talking about in the second case in the Mishnah, where he shechted others welcome for the Pesach, in fact, he was Mekayim a mitzvah by bringing another carbon, and therefore it would be a mitzvah. Then we got into the raya that we tried to bring from the case of the shechting something for tzibur, where everybody agrees that Jochayev and Rabbi Yoshua claims that there's no comparison. He says to Rabbi Eliezer, because there's no pressure on him, because after all, there's only one. Then the Gemara asks, well, what about the case where you've got twins? You've only got two. I mean, how much pressure is there on you? And we ended up making a interesting distinction between the case that was last thing we learned yesterday. That was the case where there is a general standing chiyuv versus something that is just a general mitzvah across the world. It's not your business. And that distinction we made a little bit of Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Meir, you will recall, said that in the case of the Tinokot, as long as there was still a mitzvah that was Ramya Aleh, for being, and that was a mitzvah that Shabbos should have been Nidches, that mitzvah is sufficient to pater you. Now we need to understand, according to Rebbe Meir, why in the world did Rebbe Meir say that under any and all circumstances, even if you had already shechted the case of the Korban Tzibur, why would Rebbe Meir have said that you would still be pater? And we said that according to Rebbe Meir, the very fact that you had a korban, and this was the big chiddush of Rebbe Meir. First of all, one chiddush of Rebbe Meir is that he holds, according to Rebbe Yeshua, you don't need to have been mekayim a mitzvah. The other chiddush is that according to Rebbe Meir, there does not have to be a connection between the mishnah that was driving, the mitzvah that was driving you crazy, and the mitzvah that you did. And therefore, the Torah Bedvar mitzvah could be even where the mitzvah that was being matrid you was not something that ended up being involved in the actual event. And because of that, according to Rebbe Meir, what was the case, remember? You had a korban. That korban was on your mind maybe for months. You've been waiting until the chance that you get to come up to Beis HaMikdash to bring that korban. It's a korban shlomim or whatever, right? And then when you come up, you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, you don't think that the korban tamid was brought yet. And you take your korban, you check for the korban tamid. And now in that case, the question is, what is the relationship between what it is that you did and what it was that you did it for? None whatsoever. That's a Rebbe Meir's chiddush. That what it is that you ended up doing, if it was caused by a tirda that you had with the mitzvah, then Rebbe Meir would hold, even so, you would be potter. And that's why Rebbe Meir disagrees both with Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua, and he holds that you would be potter if you had your own carbon to bring, even in the crazy case where you brought it thinking that you could use it to be Yotzi the carbon tzibur. That was where we had ended up yesterday, and we contrasted that with the case of the, according to Rebbe Yeshua, where there's pressure. It's different if there's communal pressure versus the case of the Korban Tzibur, where there's kitzva, and therefore there's no pressure. And those were the issues that we had taken into consideration up until now in the issue of Teya Bidvar Mitzvah. Now we're up to the two dots on the base, and the Mishnah continues that all other zvachin that were shechted for the purpose of a Pesach, which according to Rebbe Yoshua, do not become pasul. So then it depends. Im einan ru'uyin chayav, ve'im ru'uyin, Rabbi Eliezer mechayav chatat, and Rabbi Yeshua poter. So the question is, were these karbanas that it makes sense that you made a mistake? In other words, were they males? Were they within their first year? Were they the types of animals like son that would be able to be brought for a korban Pesach, a goat, a sheep? Or were they things that you'd be crazy to really think that you could bring that as a korban Pesach? Why the heck would you bring it for a korban Pesach? Now, so it's clear that the Mishnah at this point takes for granted that the only time, this is another element, the only time that we allow you this kula, that if you did something for the tzorach of a mitzvah, you would be potter, according to Rabbi Yeshua, is where there was some kind of grounds for your being confused. But that confusion was necessary. If it's ridiculous for you to be confused, then you should be fully responsible like any other shogeg, which is not something that we excuse. The reason that there is mechayev you for a shogeg is because you're being stupid. And you're chayev also for being stupid. You should have found out. You should have been more aware and so on and so forth. Otherwise, we wouldn't be mechayev you and it would be considered to be an onus, right? Who is the Tana that considers the tirda in this special perk that we give you because you're doing a mitzvah, that tirda would have to be a reasonable mistake? That, says the Gemara, is going to leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Because in a braita, we find that there's a machlokas in this as well between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. The braita says like this, whether the zvachim are ru'uyin or whether the zvachim are enam ru'uyin, it makes absolutely no difference. If you shechted something that was similar to a Korban Pesach, or absolutely no similarity to a Korban Pesach, for that matter, even if you took your own korban shlamim and you shechted it for the miuret sibur, you would be potter, and that is exactly what Rabbi Meir's shita has been the whole time, because Rabbi Meir holds that the tirda that you have is not the tirda that is going to be the mitzvah you were mekayim. So according to him, you walked into the Beis HaMikdash with this korban shlamim that's been on your mind for months, and because of that, anything could happen. That's the point. We're not looking at the tirda of bringing the korban Pesach. We're not looking at the tirda of bringing a korban sibur. You know darn well it's not your business to take care of the korban sibur. We're looking at the fact that you are in a state of tirda because you have your own korban that you've been worrying about. That was the big chiddush of Rabbi Meir. Don't think about what it is that he's doing. Think about what it is that he had on his mind to do. Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, all of the above cases would also be potter, even though you're saying, well, wait a minute, just because you were under pressure to bring a korban Pesach, so because of that you brought the wrong species for korban Pesach. That's not why. The reason I got confused is because I was thinking about my korban that I needed to bring, and that's how my mind slipped. That's the point. On my Rabbi Shimon said to him, no, that's ridiculous. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua are made that there is no p'tur of a Torah bidvar mitzvah on something that is stupid. You shouldn't have made the mistake. In other words, he disagrees with Rabbi Meir's fundamental assumption that you can have another mitzvah being matred you and use that other mitzvah as an excuse for the mitzvah that you ended up trying to do. Namely, in this case, you had your own korban shlamim that's been on your mind, and now you tried to do a korban Pesach or a korban tzibur. That one has nothing to do with the other, Tanya's Rabbi Shimon. Ah, so if that's the case, it needs to be that it was the korban Pesach that was driving you crazy, not the fact that you had your own korban shlamim, correct? So if it's a korban Pesach that's driving you crazy, how could you be so stupid as to think that this female animal could possibly be a korban Pesach? What, are you dumb? So that type of mistake is not excusable by the fact that you felt a tirda to do the mitzvah of the Pesach. Therefore, alma nechleku, the only machlokas is on those korbanos that are at least understandable that you could have made a mistake because the pressure was from the korban Pesach, as opposed to Rabbi Meir's din, that the pressure was from your own animal. So they were only nechleku ala ru'uyin, Rabbi Eliezer b'chayev chatat, Rabbi Yeshua poter, and therefore our Mishnah fundamentally is disagreeing with Rabbi Meir's entire approach and is only following the understanding of Rabbi Shimon in what the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is. Amar Rav Bevi, Amar Rabbi Elazar, listen, man, you got to understand, according to Rabbi Meir, even if it appears to be that you are completely off your rocker, he would still say that it would be, it's irrelevant to him that this issue is, how could you make such a mistake? Because the mistake was not coming from the Pesach. You're right. I'd have to be really stupid to be thinking about, well, I can't wait till I bring my korban Pesach, and then you see a cow, and you bring a cow for a korban Pesach. That's insane. But that's not the problem, according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir is, you've had this cow for 3 months worrying about, how am I going to get this korban brought into the Beis HaMikdash? And then when you bring the cow, you say, hey, wait a minute, you know what? What the heck? I'm going to get my cow in there. Let me use it as korban Pesach. Now, that is something that, according to Rabbi Meir, I don't need to understand the mistake is coming from the Pesach. I need to understand the mistake is coming from the Shlomim itself. Therefore, Tainas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir would have said, even if you find a calf, and how can anybody think a calf is a korban Pesach? Even so, that you brought it in as a zivchei shlomim, brought it as a korban Pesach, even in that crazy case, you'd be potter, because that follows the entire idea of Rabbi Meir. Amalei Rabbi Zirul Rabbi, but is that true? I mean, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that, well, Rabbi Meir is made that if the korban that you've got is a balmum, and you went ahead and you shechted that for korban Pesach, then of course you would be chayev. So why wouldn't he do the same thing? I mean, a calf's not roi for a korban Pesach, but neither is the balmum. And the balmum, he says, you would be chayev. So isn't the calf like a balmum? Omar Lei, of course not. If it's a balmum, you weren't torud in bringing it to the Mizbeach at all for your own korban. Your stupidity began with the very mitzvah that was pressuring you. You have no mitzvah to bring a balmum to the Mizbeach, you fool. So because of that, the entire thing is a shogeg and it has nothing to do with the mitzvah. Masha inkein, so over there, balmum lo toribu. But in the case of this calf, You've had this calf on your mind for months, so you are Tarit Bohu, and you really were going to bring it as a Karban Shlamim, and then at the last minute, and listen, think about how in your own life, how often that happens, where like, because something is a pressure, now all of a sudden you think at the last minute, oh, you know what, I might as well get this done too. And that last minute flip was where you fail. Okay, let me ask something else. Suppose you don't have a Karban at all. You've got a Karban, you've got an animal that's chulin. Okay, what would Rabbi Meir have to say to me about that? Ma'ali Amar Rabbi Meir. Said to him, well, obviously, Rabbi Meir would have held even chulin. What? Says Rava, that's crazy. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that Rabbi Meir is made on Balei Mumin? A chulin is just like Balei Mumin. I mean, how could you possibly have said that the guy is nervous about chulin? Well, now, it says Rav Nachman something absolutely crazy. Well, says Rav Nachman, Balei Mumin, you could never mistake a Bal Mum for your Karban Pesach, could you? But you could mistake an animal that's chulin for your Karban Pesach, and because of that, it's a valid Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. Says Rava, what? But Rabbi Meir doesn't care about the question of whether you can get confused or not. That wasn't the issue, remember? Rabbi Meir the entire time has been saying that the source of the p'tur is the fact that you're torahed in the mitzvah, even though the mitzvah that you're torahed in has nothing to do with bringing the Karban Pesach. He was talking about, like, you've got your own shlamim to bring. Now, what the heck are you torahed in over here if all you have is an animal that's chulin? Now, we're back to where we started from. Rabbi Meir doesn't focus on the question of whether you'd get confused or not. Didn't Rabbi Bibi say, Potari Rabbi Meir, filu egel shel zivchei shlamim, that he was makriv l'shem Pesach? You're certainly not going to get confused about whether an egel is a Karban Pesach. So what is the issue? It's not that. Alma time of the Rabbi Meir, mishum detarid. His only issue is because you have something on your mind over here, you do not have that Karban on your mind because it's chulin. So how could you say that, says Rav to Rabbi Nachman. Says Rabbi Nachman, this is, excuse me, but black and white thinking. I mean, just because Rabbi Meir holds to that, it doesn't mean he doesn't hold that there's a Torah. Now, let's understand what's happened to our thinking over here. We started off focusing on the inyan of the Torah Bar Mitzvah, that the Chiddush over here, according to Rabbi Meir, is the fact that there is something other than the mitzvah that you ended up attempting to do that was being matured you, and that was the big Chiddush, according to Rabbi Meir, right? But that doesn't mean that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that you could have a Torah B'dvar Mitzvah from the mitzvah that you are trying to do, does it? And if you are trying to do a Karban Pesach, I mean, obviously, if you see an egel, you're not going to be Torah'd in bringing that egel. It's only if that egel was your Karban Shlamim, not if it's a chulin. But how about if you've got a Karban that looks like a Karban Pesach and it's chulin? You certainly do want to bring a Karban Pesach. Rabbi Meir never denied that there's also a Torah Dvar Mitzvah in bringing the Karban Pesach per se. So therefore, either one of the factors, according to Rabbi Meir, would be sufficient to potter you, either because you're Torah, meaning you're Torah in the Hakrava of your Shlamim, and that would be even if there would be no basis at all for confusing that Shlamim with the Karban Pesach, or you could also be Torah in the Karban Pesach if the thing that you're bringing could be confused with the Karban Pesach. So either one is sufficient basis, according to Rabbi Meir, and Michlaf would be sufficient, the confusability, Afag Avdolo Torid, even though it's not causing you any pressure. Masha Enke, in the case that you're bringing me, is the case of a Baal Mum. The case of a Baal Mum is neither. It cannot be confused with a kosher Karban Pesach, nor is it something that's putting pressure on you to bring because there's no pressure, obviously, to bring a Baal Mum. Okay, so now let's take a look at the general din of Torah B'dvar Mitzvah and see how it applies to other mitzvahs in light of the way that we've been analyzing the various factors. And we've had an awful lot of factors that we took into consideration. So, Yossi Reb Zera, Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Hilad Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. So, Reb Zera and Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak were sitting over there in Reb Shmuel's house on the front porch. V'yatve v'ka'amre, and they were quoting Reish Lakish. And they said like this, you know, Reish Lakish said once that nischalef lo shpod shel notar, b'shapod shel tzali. So guy's got skewers of meat. He's a Kohen. He's in the Beis HaMikdash. And generally what happens is that, you know, that there's somebody that's going to be preparing the meat of the carbonis that were brought. And he puts it on a cafeteria-like table for the Kohanim to take as they want to eat, right? Now, somebody, idiot, had put down a skewer of meat that had been there from the day before, hoping that somebody would eat it. Nobody ate it. It turned out to be no, sir. And this guy didn't know it was no, sir. And there were skewers of all kinds of delicious stuff to eat over there. He picks up the skewer and he eats it. It turns out to be no, sir. And he goes and he eats it. And in that case, it says he's chayev, because even though what he tried to do was to be mekayem the mitzvah of achilas kachim, he still is chayev. Why? Because of the fact that, did he do a mitzvah in the end? Zero mitzvah. And we're going according to the shita that we took on for granted in the Mishnah, that if you don't do a mitzvah, then you can't be putter, even though you were Torah to do a mitzvah. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, now it's not clear what this is, Rabbi Yochanan. Is Rabbi Yochanan arguing on Reish Lakish? Is he adding to Reish Lakish? And that is going to be the subject of our next piece. So whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, well, look, if somebody mistakenly sleeps with his wife, who is a Nida, Ishta Nida Baal, so he would be Chayev a Korban Chatas. Which is interesting because, I mean, he did have in mind to be Mekayim a mitzvah by sleeping with his wife. We'll discuss that. But in any event, apparently, even though he ended up doing a mitzvah, he would be Pater Masha Inkein if he sleeps with his Yevama for the first time, being Mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum. So over there, even though he was over on an Isser Karis and he ought to be bringing a Korban Chatas, he would be Pater again, apparently, because since he took the Yavama, he was Mekayim a Mitzvah at the end. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, why is he not Mekayim a Mitzvah with his wife if he sleeps with his wife? So we're going to say his wife was pregnant and therefore he couldn't have impregnated her. So there wasn't a mitzvah there. We'll talk about the other mitzvahs that might have been associated with sleeping with his wife. But let's now take for granted, according to Rabbi Yochanan, since he was not Mekayim a mitzvah with his wife, he would be chayev. Since he was Mekayim a mitzvah with his Yavama, he would be potter. Now, it's not clear what Rabbi Yochanan was saying vis-a-vis Reish Lakish. Now, there's two approaches to Rabbi Yochanan. Some say that what Rabbi Yochanan was saying is that I want to expand on what Reish Lakish said. I would say that for sure, in the case where you ate the nosar, in Reish Lakish's case, that's obvious. Of course you would be chayev in that case because you didn't do any mitzvah at all. And over here, by Ishto Nida, where you would say there was some kind of mitzvah, which we'll talk about, even there, I would say, so I would take it a step further, because no matter how you learn it, the bottom line is that if the guy sleeps with his wife, what are the possibilities? He could be trying to impregnate her. So then he would be Mekayim a mitzvah period of Arivya. He could be Mekayim the mitzvah of Ona, so that he is responsible to be sleeping with her, whatever his personal Ona is. He could be just trying to give her pleasure. And the din is that if a woman indicates that she's in the mood for pleasure, you have a chiyuv to pleasure her. So that's also a mitzvah. But no matter what it is, I mean, there's some element of a mitzvah that ought to be involved. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that I would say even over there he's chiyuv. So I would take it a step further than Reish Lakish. That's one way of saying it. So that if you wanted to do a mitzvah, if there's no mitzvah that's good enough, so then you would be, and we're going to see, well, why is there no mitzvah with the wife? I would take it even to that case. Okay, Reish Lakish was a little bit more limited. Others are known the contrary. He was arguing with Reish Lakish. He was saying, look, in the case where you ate nota, in that case, I would say that you're actually putter. Why? Because even though you weren't Mekayim a mitzvah, the point over there is that you had a complete basis for going ahead and trying to do the mitzvah. Because how are you supposed to find out? When it comes to your wife, you could have found out whether she's a Nida. You could have interrogated her, right? As what's going on? Masha Inkein over here, who are you going to talk to? You don't know who to talk to about it. There's this noser over here. You see it on the side where the other skewers there. So over there, maybe Rabbi Yochanan holds that you don't need to be Mekayim a mitzvah, and therefore he would be arguing with Rabbi Reish Lakish, well, you do need to be b'kayim a mitzvah, and it's just that you had a right to make this error. So according to this, Rabbi Yochanan would be arguing with Reish Lakish. He would be saying, even though there is no mitzvah at the end, there would be a p'tur if there's a good reason for you to have been trying to do that mitzvah. And that's like Rabbi Meir said, if you're under pressure to do a mitzvah, then there was no reason for you to know that, that this was a mistake. So then in that case, you're tired and you would be potter, and you didn't do a mitzvah. And the only reason that you're chayev over here with the wife is because you're stupid and you should have found out and there was no good basis for your attempt to do that mitzvah. So, but I mean, I don't quite understand. Is there really a difference between sleeping with a wife and sleeping with the Yavama? I mean, I understand that the Yavama is sort of like a one-time thing that you're Mekayim, this extra mitzvah of the mitzvah of Yibam, but every time you sleep with a wife, you're being Mekayim a mitzvah. So, Maishna Yavimto, the Kavin mitzvah, I mean, so what are you telling me? You're put in the case of Yavama, but you're Chayim in the case of your wife. I mean, why? Ishtanami Kavin mitzvah, you're doing a mitzvah there too. Well, it's talking about that she's pregnant. Says, okay, fine, she's pregnant, but so what? I mean, isn't there a mitzvah to be Mekayim Yurchiyav Avona with her? And so Ika Simchatona, I mean, so then there's just that joy of sex that you're responsible for. No, it's talking about it wasn't at the time of the Ona. But I thought Rava said that anytime that a woman indicates that she's in the mood, you have to pleasure her when it's possible and she needs it. So then what do you mean it's no mitzvah? Well, we're talking about in a case where it was samuch. Now, obviously, we could have said that the woman was not in a mood and that the guy just wanted to use her, but then it wouldn't be similar, Bichlal, to any of the discussion that we're talking about, right? Because what are we putting it together with the Avimto for him? It's ridiculous. So we're not going to even consider that possibility. Obviously, there's some element of mitzvah associated with it, and there's a reason that Rabbi Meir, that over here we're saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you would be potter. So that you would be chayev. So what would that be? Says the Gemara, well, it could be talking about that it was close to the time of her veset, and because of that, obviously, if the Torah asks you in sleeping with a woman near the time of her veset, you know, the famous machlokas, within 12 hours, 24 hours, but in any event, the Torah is not going to be b'chai of you to pleasure her if you're not allowed to sleep with her, obviously. I mean, so that's the point. That's why you're chai v'chatas. I understand. I mean, then the cases have to be parallel cases. Then the case of the Yavama would also be that it was close to her veset. So then why does Rabbi Yochanan say he's potter? He should not have been sleeping with her at that time. True. But I mean, listen, put yourself in the situation of this guy. I mean, he's been called upon to go sleep with a woman that he doesn't even know. He may not even know her name. He has no interest in sleeping with her. I mean, this is really a difficult job to do. It's extremely embarrassing. Her husband died, his brother. He maybe never met her. And now we're going to have to get together and I'm going to have to sleep with you. Now, I'm going to start questioning you. Could you tell me about your periods, honey? Oh, God. I mean, the whole situation is horrific. You know, because of that, he's buzzing me now. He's embarrassed. But he's not going to open up the conversation with her about, tell me about when your period is. But his own wife, Ishto, lo buzzes me now. That's the difference. So therefore, we expect him to find out what the truth is. Now, the question is, do we really have a basis for making a mistake about a mitzvah and claiming that there's a concept of Torah Bedvar Mitzvah where there is no pressure? Is there any pressure to take your Yavama today? I mean, could you not have, like, taken another month to get to know her and to find out about her and then to make sure that she starts on it so forth? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan is jumping to a conclusion. I mean, all the cases I can think of that we've been talking about until now are cases where there is a time pressure. I mean, what's the time pressure when it comes to the Yavama? I mean, does Rabbi Yochanan have a source for this, that the din of Torah Bedvar Mitzvah is even if there is no time consideration? So, I mean, okay, look, let's try a case that maybe you're thinking about, all right? Meanwhile, of course, the Gemara is now has an excuse to go examining the various of Torah Bedvar Mitzvah in other circumstances and see what the other factors that we might need to take into consideration would be. So maybe he's learning it from Rabbi Yossi's opinion in Sukkah, in the Mishnah in Sukkah, we're over there at the Tanan. Rabbi Yossi says, if the Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag, Chaliyot B'Shabbat, this is the first day of Sukkot, it comes out on a Shabbos, and he forgot that it was a Shabbos. He takes out his lulav, turned to the Rosh Hashanah, and he carries it he is potter. The reason he's potter is because, look, we were talking over there in the Mishnah where it was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and over there, if it came out on Shabbos, you were not allowed to carry, but you would still be being yotz in the midst of your lulav. So since you were torn in being yotz in the midst of your lulav, so because of that, he compares this to the idea of the Yavama, but this is ridiculous. I mean, it's different over there, right? I mean, you've got a whole day, but only today. I mean, you've got to do it. So Zmano Mahu, I mean, Bohu. Okay, so the mitzvah of Yibum does not have any particular time. You could wait a year, too. I mean, so therefore, maybe Rabbi Yochanan it has no basis here. Okay, fine. Maybe it's the case in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, that says even if you brought others walking for your carbon Pesach, so it's the same thing over here. No, they're also Zmano Bohu. I mean, you've only got today to bring the carbon Pesach. That's no good. Okay, how about the case of Rabbi Yeshua with the Tinokot that we had before, where over there you're under pressure to get the bris done? Yeah, but you sure have to do it quick, don't you? I mean, you only have today to do it on, so that's also Zmano Bohu. And where's the case? Where does Rabbi Yochanan know such thing exists? Okay, what about the case of Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah of Truma? We're over there, that's not. A kohen is eating Truma, and he finds out that he's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutz, and he's not allowed to eat that Truma. So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, you know, I don't care if you wanted to do a mitzvah. You're going to have to pay like anybody else, and this is considered to be a shogeg, and you pay the Karen and the Chomesh and the whole deal. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you're potter now. Apparently over there, there certainly is no pressure. I've got to eat the Truma today, is there? And nonetheless, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that since you were taught by Bar Mitzvah, we're not Machayev the way we would normally be Machayev somebody who is doing something b'shogeg. So you're potter. But that's not a good proof, because the case over there may be going like Rabbi Barabaye. Rabbi Barabaye says that case in the Mishnah is talking about Truma that was Chometz and it was Erev Pesach, and you're really in a rush to make sure that you finish all of that Truma before it becomes usher to eat. You've only got a half an hour to eat. So that would be the worst case to try to bring Raya for Rabbi Yochanan if we're talking about the rush of Erev Pesach. Or, you know what? There may be another thing. The other thing is a surprising halacha that a Ben Grusha, a Ben Chalutza, who does the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash, the Aveda is kosher. According to Rashi, if he does it b'shogeg, according to the Rambam, even if he does it b'mezid. Because the Avoda Rachmana Achsher, the Torah was machshir his Aveda, because it says in that Mishnah that Haya Omedu Makriv v'nodalo shu ben grusha ben chalutza. What if he was aimed on the Mizbeach, he finds that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza? So the Tanakhama says, kol ha-karbonot kolam shikriv agabim Mizbeach psulim. Anything was possible because it turns out he wasn't a kohen. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, anything that he did is kosher. And we analyzed that. How the heck would he say such a thing? My time to Rabbi Yeshua, he learned it from the Pasuk. Because the bracha to Levi is, Borech Hashem chelo ufo'al yadav tirtzeh. And chelo means his chalalim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow even his chalalim to do aveda tirtzeh, which is ritzui of the aveda. And because of that, if a halal does aveda, so then it would be kosher. If we would consider the eating of truma to be the equivalent of an aveda, so then the reason that he's potter is because if he did that aveda, it was good aveda. So therefore, you can't use this as a mocker for the din of nida. Where do we see that truma, eating truma, will be considered an aveda? The Tanya, Maaseh Rabbi Tarfon Shloba Emesh LeBeit HaMidrash. Once Rabbi Tarfon didn't show up to the Beis HaMidrash, and in the night before, he didn't come to the shir. The next morning, Rabbi Gamliel found him. Rabbi Gamliel was not happy with the fact that Rabbi Tarfon didn't show up to shir, right, the night before. So he says to him, what happened to you? So Rabbi Tarfon says, you wouldn't know about such things. You know, I'm a kohen, and I was busy doing the aveda. Avada avarati. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I mean, there's no Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean you're doing the Aveda? Stop telling me the doggy ate it, okay? Why weren't you here for sure? So, Kol Dvarach Einan Ela Divrei Tema. What Aveda? Aveda Bizman HaZeh. Where's your Aveda? I'm like, oh, listen. The Torah says, Avodat Matana Tenet Kunatchem Vazara Karev Yumat. What does that mean? That the Matanot that are given to the Kohanim, which includes Truma, it's called an avodah of the matanah. What does that mean? It must mean that eating achilas truma, even bigvulin, without a Beis HaMikdash, is the equivalent of the avodat Beit HaMikdash. I was eating. Shah. Okay.